Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in. It's Grant and Danny on The Fan, and we are getting closer and closer to Week 4 football. The Commanders and the Falcons on Sunday. Tomorrow, an amazing day of college games. We will preview the slate, and we'll get you your full outlook for Week 4 in the National Football League as well on this Football Friday. It's also a Field Trip Friday. And we are out and about, and I got to tell you, we are classing it up today, aren't we?
What a gorgeous spot this is.
This is
incredible here.
Beautiful bar. We are at Char Bar at the JW Marriott in Reston. This is a beautiful new facility out here. This entire neighborhood right here has popped up in the last several months. I drove by and I said, I didn't know this was here. But Char Bar is gorgeous. This is the most comfortable seat we've ever done a radio show in, unequivocally.
And it's not close.
When we sat down, we were greeted by a chef whose pastry chef had just finished making us a gigantic chocolate football that looks like some type of a chocolate Lombardi trophy of sorts.
Every part of it is chocolate.
All of it.
It's probably about, I don't know, what'd you say, like 14, like a foot and a half tall almost, right? Maybe like a little over a foot tall.
16 pounds
of
chocolate.
It's like more than a baby. It's like a baby and a half.
I held a baby today mm-hmm. for hours.
Yeah.
I lifted up the chocolate football stanchion.
Yes.
This is a heavier thing.
It's like a Super Bowl trophy, but every part of it is chocolate. There's like there's accoutrements. There's I don't even know how to describe it, but like there's mini footballs on top of the football that make up the football.
There's
it's like a hive of
those cookies are like macarons. What are those
macaroons?
Called? Macaroons.
Looking for a macaroon there.
My wife likes them.
Yeah.
There's those, but they have chocolate on either side of them.
Yeah.
There's like a bed of chocolate rocks.
Yeah, chocolate rocks.
So go check it out on social. We've posted it on our 106.7 The Fan at Twitter and Instagram accounts if you want to see our chocolate trophy that we're celebrating with today. But this gorgeous bar will be here all day long, so come on out and spend your happy hour, your Friday evening with us as you get out of the office, as we get ready for football. We've already had some listeners come through wearing their Commanders gear. I think people are excited about the game this weekend after a 2-1 start, but there's been a little cold water poured on this weekend's game for this reason. The big news of the day, Jaden Daniels already ruled out. Terry McLaurin will not play either, has been ruled out. Wide receiver Noah Brown is not going to be on the field on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, nor will your top blocking tight end, John Bates. So just a casual, no starting quarterback, neither of two of your top three wide receivers helping you, or your best blocking tight end, but go get the Falcons. And it won't surprise a whole lot of people to know that Washington's gone from a 2.5-point favorite initially, and on the look-ahead line, I think it was even a little better than
3.5,
that.
3.5, yeah.
To now 2.5-point dogs in some of the books that I'm seeing right now. So a 5-point swing much larger than last week when Daniels didn't play, just based on all of the guys they're going to be without as they hit the road.
Yeah, just seeing now from John Keim, I guess via Adam Schefter, that A.J. Terrell for Atlanta won't play, which is nice, but, you know, again, it doesn't...
Who's running routes against their number two corner?
What I was about to bring up, right? It's, you know, can Chris Moore take advantage? To find out at one on Sunday.
By the way, he didn't play. A.J. Terrell did not play last weekend against Carolina either. Now, their problem was not necessarily their defense, although they didn't have a banner game. They didn't score a single point.
Mm-hmm.
And numbers approximate, I'm not sure that there's ever been any teams that have won a game when they didn't score a single point. But that's two straight where your best corner's out. So you would normally go into that game and go, oh, maybe there's an error in the
somebody's
back end of the
feast.
Secondary.
Yeah.
But it's no McLaurin. It's no Noah Brown. I like Debo on some middle of the field, deep over, dig stuff. But it's got to be Chris Moore, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. The bottom of the wide receiver depth chart's got to step up here.
Yeah, they've already majored in Debo. This is now your double majoring in Debo, in my view. I mean, this is Debo early, Debo middle, Debo late. You just hope he's, you know, gets through it unscathed. But yeah, I'm featuring him a ton on some of that short stuff. See if he can run after the catch, break a tackle, do that kind of patented Debo thing that you saw so many times in San Francisco. Turn a 7-yard hitch into a 50-yard gain, something like that. I think is going to be essential to win this game on the road. And you said it. The consensus now has gone from Washington, if it has enough of its horses, is the better football team. They're now road underdogs in this game. The consensus has kind of swung towards Atlanta.
I want to bring Toby on for a moment before we dive deeper into the actual football operation, because Toby is the one of the three of us who just consumed his lunch out here.
Yep.
You and I will be doing that in the upcoming commercial
break. In a matter of moments.
But I saw Toby's food got here right as we were starting, and I noticed now that Toby's food is gone.
Yes.
And so it seems like it was a success. What did you consume?
Pan-seared rockfish.
And?
Spectacular. The sear was great, so you had a nice crunch with the skin.
Okay.
Light and flaky fish. So, so good.
This is an elegant situation today for us.
Very much so. I mean, Grant, of course, went with the childish burger, but
yes.
Everything else, Danny and I are going to indulge in more adult fare.
Elevated palate.
Very, very good.
Of course, yeah.
Very, very good.
They told me that they have an exquisite burger. I came to a sports bar that is elevated, to be clear. It's actually a power lunch bar, I would say.
Elevated.
This is where I would like bring clients to have meetings and
yeah, of course.
Whatnot. But, I'm gonna dabble with the burger.
I would do that bit. You're exactly right. We're talking about clients. I would do the bit where I'd go, you know where we could meet? Great place. I know a little spot. It's called the Char Bar.
Yeah, you want to
easy to come by.
Talk about Clark's paperwork? Bring it over there in a folder.
Did you see the Tompkins file? Just stuff like that.
But you have to – there's like paper clips on your papers.
Oh, there'd be so many paper
manila
clips.
Folders.
I don't like staples. I like the feel of being able to take the paper clip off if I need to.
Someone's going to have a meeting here today where they open up their suit jacket and they pull the papers out of the inside pocket. You know, they're not just carrying them in.
Right.
Like,
right.
Out of the pocket, perfectly folded. Mm-hmm. Tobes, you've got your American flag hat and your U.S. 2020 Ryder Cup gear on. Not off to a good start for the Americans, by the way.
No, I woke up this morning, and they were already through their front nines, and it was a pretty embarrassing performance by the Americans early on. But hopefully the afternoon wave is going a little bit better. I see a little red on the scoreboard, so it looks like
enough,
it's going
Tubbs.
A little bit better, but it couldn't go much worse this morning for the Americans.
Well, you can keep us abreast on all things Ryder Cup as we go today. But, yeah, we're going to major in the Commanders and in the NFL. Here's where I want to start on G&D. On this Football Friday, on a field trip Friday out here at Char Bar and Reston at the JW Marriott. We'll be seeing you as you come out today to hang out with us. Plenty of room, parking all around us, different garages in this little neighborhood here. Do you have any surprise that they ruled Daniels out today? Because I actually think that they could have listed him, limited again, and said he was a game-time decision, and nobody would have batted an eye. They would have even kept the suspense, the momentum, because he did such a good job when he spoke, making it seem like he's perfectly fine. Now, we've seen the video, and he's not quite 100%, I would speculate, but he wants to play. And there's no doubt in my mind, after seeing his press conference this week, Danny, seeing how adamant he is that the knee doesn't bother him, he's not compromised, he can be himself, he thinks he can go out and play winning football, I promise you he was advocating behind the scenes to play in this game, and they basically had to protect him from himself. Last week, a lot of people thought that happened. I don't know that it did. I think he was told earlier in the week on this plan, it was very likely that they weren't going to play him. This week, it does seem like he was elevating in his not only willingness, but climbing in what he was able to do in practice. And they eventually had to say, it's not happening. But I'm a little bit surprised they didn't take this thing into the weekend just to keep the mystery going as to whether or not he was going to play.
Yeah, I am too. It, you know, would have been an extra day or two, as you said, of that mystery, just making Atlanta just prepare just in case, right? Yeah, it kind of tells you a couple things. Maybe to me, my inference, and whether this is fair or not, this is the first thing I thought of, maybe he wasn't that close to playing. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're ruled out on Friday instead of a game-time decision, Danny, it's obviously not a let's see how he feels over the weekend.
Right, yeah, my thought was going into this, and tell me if you think this is crazy pants. If this was a playoff game, .. he was going to play this week. You know what I mean? Like, if this is a winner go home, you got no choice, you know, the only shot you get here, week 17 kind of thing, or a playoff game, divisional round, whatever, he would have played. But because it's not, and because they're smart and being judicious and careful and thoughtful, they were going to rule him out eventually. That was kind of how I was thinking this would go. By doing it Friday, it kind of told me maybe he wasn't that close being able to get on the field and play based on whatever metrics they were using. I mean, I don't know if that's irresponsible. That's the first thing I thought of, though.
Well, it certainly wasn't as close as it sounded like in his press conference. There's no doubt. I think he has improved substantially because he was able to take part in three practices. If you're just comparing it to a week ago,
yep.
We're on a trajectory now where it would be somewhat surprising if he didn't play against the Chargers. And in fact, I'd be willing to go as far as to say, if he doesn't play next weekend in L.A., now we know that this thing was more serious initially than was let on, number one. Because you're talking about almost a month recovery before he'd be back on the field after missing three games at that point. But you would also know at that juncture that it was never really day-to-day. It was actually week-to-week. Because day-to-day over 3 weeks missing games is not congruent. I mean, those two things can't both be true. But I guess for most people that doesn't matter too much, the semantics of how they're handling it or what they're saying. I just think they saw Marcus Mariota play this past weekend. And for the third time in three chances on the field for this organization, he was exceptional. He played a very, very clean game. He was decisive and accurate as a passer. He was explosive and dynamic as a rusher. Ran for 40 yards in the first half. Throws for a couple hundred yards in the game. And coming out of that performance, their best offensive game of the season, through three games, you've got a top six offense in the NFL. Do you realize right now, this moment, they're the number one rushing offense in the NFL at 5.7 yards per carry and 157 yards per game? And I think when they look around and they go, wait, no McLaurin, no Noah Brown, no John Bates, we're going to have to get some rushing from our quarterback. This is going to have to be some read option, some pistol, some design QB run stuff. If you're not completely convinced in Jaden Daniels being able to do that at his normal level, you know Mariota runs it really well. I mean, in terms of just straight read option, he's as good as there is in the league, in my opinion. So if you're going to have to bake that in because Ja'Cory Krosky merits not 100% and because your receiving room is pillaged by health at this point, then why wouldn't you want your more healthy quarterback available to give you some of that playbook? I think he opens things up for Kingsbury right now in a way that a compromised Daniels doesn't.
I think you're exactly right about that. And to me, you know, just sort of looking at some of the numbers and things that I found, Atlanta plays more man than your average bear, which tells me that's a great opportunity for Daniels to have some impact on the ground. That'd be amazing if Daniels could impact on the ground without having actually played. I meant Mariota. That tells you that there'll be that time, whether it's via scramble or you catch them in a certain RPO look or a read option look that they're not anticipating, with everybody's got their head turned, and maybe you could have another one of those carries like you saw this past week against the Raiders. We ended up fumbling, but I think you could have a couple of those dagger-type runs on some third downs to keep the chains moving. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a slog than this past week was. And I know I said that about the Raiders, and they won going away, and the offense was really, really good. So, you know, I'm a little bit sort of calling for rain on a sunny day.
Well,
but
Obama
it does feel
style,
like that.
Let me be clear. I think you've predicted all slogs to this point. The first game, you had like a 17-16 rock fight. So that's kind of where you're viewing this offense. But this one makes a lot of sense.
This, I know. I've been wrong.
They're literally on their B offense.
Yeah, Giants game was a slog. Green Bay was. But this one, you know, the Raiders game I was wrong about. They thumped a team that had come in good against the run. This Atlanta team, I think you could run on them. I mean, they're middle of the pack in terms of yards per carry and allowed and things like that. But It feels to me like the best rushing offense in the league, whom you just referenced, three-headed monster, whoever ends up toting the rock. But I think there are going to be some good quarterback run opportunities in this game. And because of the point you made, I think you're 100% right on, you go, well, if that's where our game plan is taking us, we don't want Daniels doing that.
It's funny because I worry more about the defense in this game than I do the offense, despite all the injuries that we're talking about being on offense. And the reason I say that is Atlanta was so terrible when they had the football against the Panthers, scoring 0 points and getting blown out by 30. Michael Penix throwing two egregious interceptions, having just frankly an unacceptably bad performance. He ended up getting benched, which is evidence of that. But all week long, they've been hearing it from the outside. In the building, this is a lock arms kind of grin and bear it week where you got to buckle down and be on your P's and Q's. Your head coach, Raheem Morris, is being asked about how long the leash is for Penix and his backup, Kirk Cousins, and are they going to make any changes on offense. But when you get shut out, it's just
– against that team.
It's a motivator.
You know what I mean?
You go back to the drawing board, and I think you try a lot of new things on offense. My guess is their plan, their scheme, their play calling – It's going to be different. They're going off script here.
They're moving Zach Robinson down to the field. You always hear about that. The coordinator that was on the field is now in the booth. The guy that was in the booth is now in the field. But there had to be some introspection and some self-scouting after you got throttled and couldn't manage a loud clap. I mean, they could barely get out of the huddle against Carolina. You would think they'd be on their P's and Q's this week.
I think you could move Zach Robinson onto the field. It wouldn't help him very much.
Put him in a helicopter.
Watch this offensive scheme and tell me he is doing a good job. There's no air yards. There's no play action pass or moving the pocket with the best running offense in football since the beginning of last year. You've got one of the elite running backs in this league in Bijan Robinson, an outside zone, pin and pull stuff, like all the stretch stuff they do outside the tackle box. You'll never see them go play action and boot the other way. It's inexplicable. Now, maybe they add some of those wrinkles this week.
They finally start to do it.
But they haven't done it. They didn't do it with Cousins, and everyone said it was because of his Achilles. All right, maybe. Now you've got Michael Penix. What's the excuse? It's just that this coordinator, for some reason, doesn't really believe in it. It's very stationary. You're at the same spot in the pocket. They don't move you anywhere. I've been completely confounded by how they run their offense. But you say, well, what? Then why are you worried? It's because of the weapons. It's because Drake London, against a banged-up secondary, should be able to make a lot of plays in that 7 to 15-yard range. Now, 70% of his targets are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, which is unacceptable, but that's where we are. He's going to end up being used like a tight end and be a high-volume guy. They've got to get more out of Mooney down the field. They got to get Ray-Ray McCloud some of those choice routes against guys that he can route up. But how do you cover Bijan out of the backfield? I don't think they have an answer for that. And there's enough Atlanta good in terms of personnel. If you're not completely healthy on the back end and Washington isn't, albeit that they didn't rule anybody out yet, but they got some question marks. Sounds like Trey Amos is a lot healthier than we thought he was going to be. That's my bigger concern than the Washington offense, because I think Mariota plays at a level that allows you to kind of just move forward and
not have to worry. Yeah.
And I would have told you Bates is a huge loss, but I saw him run for two bills without him last week. Sinnott blocked his butt off.
Let's go Trent Scott.
Yeah, Trent Scott as a third tackle playing tight end was awesome. So we just saw it. I know that this is going to be a tougher game. I still think they can win it, but I worry more about the Washington defense, oddly.
I smell what you're cooking, despite the fact that that group got shut out on the road to Carolina this past week. And I'm not telling you Kyle Pitts isn't a bitter disappointment. I am telling you that it's not because he's unathletic. You know what I mean? Just like the one time it works, like that guy with the football in his hands. You mentioned Robinson, who's got 14 catches for 164 yards.
By the way, the idea of Kyle Pitts
is intoxicating.
Is the greatest idea that's ever been concocted. This tight end who's twitchy and explosive and theoretically strong enough in the open field to run through tackles. Like, I will never understand how he's not a superstar. Ever. He had 1,000 yards in his rookie year.
Yep.
He's done nothing since.
It is unfathomable to me that somebody can't figure out what to do with that guy. And at a certain point, it's the guy.
He is playing better this year.
Yeah.
While we're beating up on him,
15 for a buck, 35 through three games. Five catches, 45 yards per game.
That's 80-plus catch season. Like,
yeah.
He's making plays.
He's doing some stuff, but it's not what was promised. You know, I mean, the guy that went fourth overall as the ultimate Swiss Army knife weapon, it doesn't look like Brock Bowers. But to the point, for one game, he's very capable against a group that really struggled to cover tight ends just a couple of weeks ago. Tucker Kraft is still open against them. So I'm with you. I know it sounds like we're Chicken Little here, talking about a defense again, or talking about an offense again that struggled so mightily last week. They're making some changes. Receiver coach fired. They're moving where the coordinator is, et cetera. I'm just telling you, there's enough weapons where you go, you give this team enough cracks at it, it may not even be schemed up. Bijan Robinson just makes seven guys miss that time. Or Drake London mosses you and muscles up.
I got Bijan numbers I want to get to in this show that I've kind of dove into this week as a pass catcher and why he's such a problem out of the backfield. How is Washington going to defend him? We've got to figure that out, and we could talk about that. But to your point, I would ask people rhetorically as they drive around today, do you believe in the theory of the occasional dead cat bounce where – you fire a head coach, and then the next week everybody kind of pays closer attention and you play a little better? I think we've all seen that a million times. If you believe in that, that's what I'm talking about with the Atlanta offense, where they got rid of a coach, they're moving the OC out of the booth to the sideline. The Wolves are at the door. Mm-hmm. These are the types of things you do for a coordinator before a guy gets fired in a couple of weeks. So it's now or never time for Atlanta, for Penix, and for this OC. And that's why they get scary with all the talent that they have. But here's the first question we'll pose for you on the listener lines. We could do this next. The line is now Atlanta as a favorite for the first time this week. We've seen it swing 5.5 or so points. The injury situation for Washington is as damning as it has been in a couple of seasons, honestly, in terms of real star power. The idea that you wouldn't have Daniels and McLaurin in a game at some point over the last couple of years would have felt like a fait accompli at that point, and it's over. All right, let's go to next week. I don't feel like that at all. I think this is an extremely winnable, down to a field goal, close game indoors in Atlanta. But where are you guys at on this with all these injuries? Do you view this still as a game you go into expecting to win? Or is this now a toss-up? Is this now a game that you chalk up as you pencil in as an L and you're on to the Chargers just because of the injuries? How do you feel about it? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 if you want to join us on Grant and Danny. If you want to hang out with us in person today, you could do that. We're out of the studio for that reason. We're out in Reston today. Char Bar at the JW Marriott. This is an absolutely gorgeous building and bar, and we're going to be here until 6:30 tonight on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
First thing I'd do, I'd give you some guys that we'll rule out today. That'll be John Bates, Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, and Jaden Daniels. And I know you'll want to discuss with Jaden. He's working incredibly hard around the clock to get back. Ultimately, doctors haven't cleared him just yet. he's absolutely doing everything he possibly can. So Marcus is going to start again.
That's Dan Quinn after practice today talking about his Commanders and a lack of health going into week four. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get to the calls in a moment. You can dial us up at 800-636-1067. Interact with us on social at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. We're at Char Bar, and we'll be here all afternoon long until 6:30 when the show ends. Reston, this is the site of the JW Marriott. This whole little neighborhood here with the huge screen to watch the Ryder Cup outside. It's just really, really cool.
It is a gorgeous set of construction. Thoughtfully done, too. So it's like you can sort of walk around, check out some of the outdoor spaces, indoor spaces. The bar kind of faces this really nice intersection as you kind of you pass through here in this sort of new urban landscape. It's really neat, man. It's really nicely done.
I can't help but think when I hear Dan Quinn talking each day about how badly Daniels wants to play and how much he's being held back, that is an indicator behind the scenes that he is really pushing them.
Almost like acknowledging that fact, right?
Yeah, I think he's putting out there for everyone, and maybe even for Jaden to hear, he wants it known publicly that this is not like Daniels being hurt and saying, I can't go. And that's important to somebody if he keeps saying it. Maybe it's just Quinn himself, but I would guess Daniels to some extent. You know, you got to go back to before the draft when he had to hear rhetoric from a lot of folks like me that worried about his frame and how many games he would miss. I know that's something you've talked about a lot too. And so here he is with a injury, missing a couple games, and I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's going, no, people got to know. If this was up to me, I'm on the field. Because the toughness passed has been test.
Oh, yeah.
That test, rather, has been passed by Jaden Daniels.
Flying colors. You play four games or whatever it was with a broken rib like you did. No one gets to ask a question for a long time.
And he's really good about not letting noise seep in, but I do wonder if that's not something he thinks about where it's important to the words out there. Look, if it's my decision, if this is, as you said, playoff game, maybe he would be playing, but they're being cautious this week. And seeing him move around as we did in videos on the field where he didn't quite look 100%, but he looked way better, honestly, than I thought he was going to. I actually saw those and I thought, well, maybe he could play if he had to. The problem is just the stuff that you can't account for, that you can't predict. Somebody comes free, free release off the edge. You've got to make that quick burst movement to get away from them or to jolt one direction or the other.
Yep.
That's where you just don't know how that knee is going to hold up, and there's no reason, if you're not convinced, to put him in that spot. But the question we're asking you guys is, how are you now filing this game on a Football Friday? I feel like every Friday, there's like buckets you could put games in. Should win. Should lose. Toss up. Maybe that's the three. And you could, within those drawers, you could even have different dividers. But I have had this as a should win game throughout the week. I'm now moving it into the toss-up category. Think politics. Think election night.
Yeah, this state leans this way, and
right.
Now it's moved to... Yeah.
This state is no longer leaning red or blue. This state is now officially like a toss-up battleground, whatever. This is purple. I don't know what they call it. I guess those are the right primary colors. My wife will be upset. She was an art major at James Madison University.
Red and blue is purple.
Makes sense.
Right?
I now have this game in the toss-up category. What about you?
I'm right there. I my confidence level was 50-50, and I know a lot of Washington fans are going, are you out of your mind? They just got shut up by Carolina. And that's honestly a part of the equation, but it's not the way that you think for me. They're road underdogs for a reason. It's not just some weird accident. It's not just like, for people's health. Those buildings are really tall out there for a reason. I think I'm still going to pick them to win because I still don't quite trust one final play from Atlanta. And I might trust it a little bit more maybe from Washington, whether it's a scramble from Mariota or something to that effect. But, yeah, to me, this is a narrow pick'em type game, right, where Atlanta now is favored. But, as the home team, maybe that's where the edge comes from. But I think this is a coin toss kind of game. So, yeah, toss-up I think is perfect.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number Dez called. He's in Marlow Heights, wants to talk Commanders-Falcons 2 days out. What's up, Dez? How are you? Des, I'm going to throw you back on hold because your phone is...
That is spotty. That is spotty
bad.
Service there.
And you waited too long to have no opportunity, so we'll throw you on hold. Let's go to Mike in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mike? How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Yeah, so I think we going into Atlanta and going to take care of business. I have all the confidence in the world in Mariota and group. You know, no J.D., no Terry. That's okay. We take care of business in Atlanta. And we go on to the following week. See y'all in Los Angeles against the Chargers.
Let me ask you a question about that.
27-17, final score, watch.
So let me ask you about that, because I don't hate that take that all these injuries don't end up meaning they can't win the game and they still beat Atlanta. But do you feel that way because of the Falcons or because of the Commanders? Like, in other words, if Sunday was in L.A. and this was the at-the-Chargers game without these guys, would you still say it doesn't matter, they're going to win? Or is this based on the matchup, how bad the Falcons looked last week, and what you think of them as a team that looks like it could be 1-3 at the end of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm basing it on a lot of variables. One being Washington, you know, defense looking the way they looked last week. I look for a repeat of that defense. Atlanta does match up with us very well. You know, we always play them relatively close. But because of the way they played last week and, you know, us knocking them out, you know, almost the playoffs last year, I think Atlanta does kind of give us a little scare. But we take care of business because we want it more.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. By the way, if you look at the results within the rivalry,
yeah,
I'm not
four straight close games.
Yeah,
from
I'm
Washington,
not a huge
yeah.
fan of like what happened a year or two or three ago because it's different iterations of the team. Washington has survived and beaten Atlanta in these tight games and has won four in a row and has had a lot of success in that building as well. Now, some of that's different coaching staffs, different quarterbacks, different players, so it's not overly relevant, but I'm throwing that out there just to kind of back up the caller's point. But Danny, the reason I asked him that was I think coming off of a game like Sunday, you're going to be a little overconfident as a Commanders fan based on what you just saw because they whooped the Raiders. But I can't underscore enough the fact that Vegas had just played on Monday, had traveled cross-country, and Washington hadn't played since Thursday. And we're early enough in the season that like a lot of what we see is very week-to-week dependent. It's matchup dependent. It's based on schedule and how things went for those 3 hours. And we make it gospel in the media or as fans. Whereas same thing with the Falcons. Everyone sees that they got beat 30-0 by Carolina. Oh, they stink. They're awful. Who are they playing this week? Pick that team in Survivor. They're not that bad. Just like Washington may not be as good without all these players that are hurt as they looked against the Raiders.
Yeah, I think that's well said. People are really reacting. You know, it's the Rufio analogy you always use from Peter Pan, right? That they're running one side to the other because the combined difference in these games is, you know, almost 50 points, where Washington dominated and Atlanta got dominated. So all of a sudden, that's the story. That's what we're looking at. That's, you know, Atlanta stinks and Washington's good. And we always learn. I mean, again, Cleveland beats Green Bay. You watch these spreads get covered time after time after time, and all of a sudden you go, you know, adjustments get made. It's not as if it's, you know, they're not New Orleans. This isn't the Jets. It's not some hapless group that's just sort of lucky to be fielding 53 people. Atlanta's got some things. Again, I'm not telling you they're good. I'm not telling you they're winning the division or even going to the postseason. But I'm also telling you they're not 30-0 bad every week they show up.
800-636-1067 is how you can join us on Grant and Danny. Let's go to Josh in West Hills listening on the fan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Grant, Danny.
Buddy.
Great hearing you guys. I'm listening to you all the way out here in California on the Odyssey app. Love your show.
Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, man.
I see a total squeaker, maybe like a game decided by a field goal. Could go either way. I see a lot of misplays. You know, I think the Falcons are a dangerous team on offense and defense. They may not be playing with it, but they've got talent everywhere. Maybe should have beaten the Commanders last year. And if you just don't mind me saying, I am livid about this Terry McLaurin injury. Who couldn't have seen it coming? Everyone saw it coming. Anyways, love your show, you guys. I'll get up.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. I'm going to put a pin in that to come back to it because not only the Terry McLaurin injury, mm-hmm. I had somebody text me, and I hadn't thought about this, but we talked a lot about how the preseason, the workload was very light, and training camp was not as physical or grueling as some of the camps we've seen at Ashburn over the years. And they have a litany of injuries as a team. Now, it's a really easy thing to work back from the result and to now speculate and guess as to how we got here. But I just want to ask the question, is it fair to wonder whether it's McLaurin specifically? That one makes a lot of sense to me. Well, if it does, then why not team-wide? With the number of guys that didn't participate in the preseason or didn't do a whole lot, or the number of guys held out of practices constantly, to just get to the regular season healthy. And lo and behold, you fast forward not even a month into the season, and they're the walking wounded, and they're ruling a half dozen guys out before they hit the road to go to Atlanta, something we'll get back to. Also, we got to talk Matt Gay, because we've had two callers now, and I've made the point this could be a game that comes down to a field goal. How are we feeling about that? He has missed three kicks in the last 2 weeks and kicked the ball out of bounds. He is 3-for-6 on the season. Two of his misses 50-plus, but last week,
37 yards, man, 37 yards.
Sub 40. So if he's lining up for a game winner from 47 at the Horn this weekend, right now, are you signing up for that?
Let me ask you this. Does the coach call a timeout? Give him a second chance?
I wouldn't. Sight unseen, seriously. Yeah. I'm asking you right now. Would you sign up for a 47-yarder from Gay down 2 points with 1 second left right now?
No.
I think I would, but I think I'm going to be in the minority. I think I might be sitting alone on this one. Because all I got to do is hit a 47-yarder and I get to win the game.
Yep.
Versus the unknown of whatever could happen with all these injuries.
I will take the unknown given what I've seen. That 37-yarder is haunting me, dude.
Next, let's scout the opponent. We'll dive in on the Falcons with Randy McMichael, who does middays on our Odyssey sister station in Atlanta. We're at Char Bar, where I just had one of the best burgers I've had in a long, long time. Food, drinks, football, fellowship, this is how we do it. It's a Field Trip Friday on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Randy McMichael, who does radio in Atlanta, covers the Falcons, going to be on the show coming up in 12 minutes, top of the hour, to scout the opponent. As we welcome you back, Grant and Danny on the Fan from out in Reston today for our Field Trip Friday. This is a fun one and really, really cool spot. So we're at the JW Marriott at the Reston Station, and Char Bar is where we're sitting. There's a restaurant here, the Simon, which is where the food is coming from that we're eating. You polished off your bowl of risotto.
Just fantastic.
I don't know when the last time I had a burger as good as I had today was. It's been a long time. But if you want to eat good and you want to talk football, this is the spot today out here at Char Bar, JW Marriott, Reston Station for our Field Trip Friday. So, Danny, Matt Gay in a possible game coming down to the wire would be nerve-wracking for sure. They make it seem like there's nothing to see here. They've stood by him. They've been very confident. They're not bringing in kickers. They're not working people out. What happens if they lose a tight game and he misses a makeable kick this week? I would think you'd have to do something at that point.
I think by that point you do, right?
We'd be a month into the season with at least one miscue in every game.
So the because it hasn't, quote-unquote, cost them a game yet. You see what I'm saying? So it's like at a certain – there's the push and pull here because it bear with me. Let's say like somebody just starts on the radio and their first couple of shows, they make some mistakes. Now, this is a veteran, but bear with me. And you clean them up and you go, hey, here, this is what you did. We listen back and you made this mistake. You made this error. You don't pull the plug right then. But if we're still doing this and then it cost us whatever, now you kind of go, okay, maybe we have to make a change. That's kind of what I'm thinking here is you want to give the guy a chance to work out of it because you paid him a lot of guaranteed money as a kicker, showing you have confidence in him. Well, you want to follow through on that until you can't, it's untenable anymore, right? Where you could say, we believe in everybody. We believe in this guy. We believe in that guy. You know, you're all part of the 53 and we're pulling the rope in the same direction. And brotherhood, ding the bell. Until it's like, okay, dude, another 38-yarder or another extra point or another thing that ends up costing them, then I think it's going to be different. But I think they're trying to let them work it out because it hasn't, quote-unquote, killed them just yet.
Well, when this offense is at full strength and they're operating like a top 10 unit or a top 5 unit, they're sixth in yards per play, they're number one running the ball, they are top 15 passing the ball through three games, you have some margin for error where you might be able to miss a kick and Washington's still going to score 34 points or 27 points or whatever it is on a good day. They just hung 40, right, with him missing a field goal. But when now I'm down to quarterback two and wide receivers one and three are out and tight end two is out and I'm already made two changes at guard, the margin for error starts to diminish. And eventually you're going to play a game. You saw it last night.
Right.
Cardinals-Seahawks comes down to a field goal at the gun. A lot of these NFL games do. That was even a game, by the way, where Seattle was a lopsided better team for 3.5 quarters. But this league works out that way. Call here, call there. Next thing you know, you're lulled to sleep for a minute, and the other team's tied with you, and you're getting a kickoff with 51 seconds left and trying to win it. They can't afford to have him be the reason they can't win. I do think the leash is going to be longer just because of the contract they signed him to. No veteran kicker on a one-year deal has ever gotten as much money as he got this year. So that's just how it works. You know, when you're Logan Paulson and you're undrafted as a tight end and you're every year trying to fight to make the football team, the rules are different between you and Trent Williams. You know, he had a great analogy he used for this week on Take Command where he talked about, like, you think about it like your puppy or something. He's like, for me, I could never go anywhere or do anything outside the house by myself. Like, I was on a leash and we were being walked or I was in the house. He's like, with someone like Trent Williams or DeSean Jackson or some superstar, or Ryan Kerrigan or Chris Cooley, you just let him out into the backyard to roam around.
Right.
And like an hour later, the neighbor comes out and says, hey, is that
your tight end?
Your tight end over here? And like Chris Cooley's like, hey, man. And you're like, oh, I forgot you were out.
What's up, Chris?
They're going to treat you different when you make the money that Matt Gay does. But, man, at some point the results are all that matters. And we're getting close to that point. Let's go to Pete, who is in Reston. Pete, you got to come over here, by the way. What's going on?
Hey, GP, can you hear me?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hey, buddy. All right, here's the thing. I'm not trying to nitpick this. I got to throw a flag on the play here on the pronunciation just because you're in the neighborhood. Grant, I keep hearing you say the J.W. Marriott. Like, if you love that cheeseburger so much, why don't you marry it? I think it's Marriott.
Here's the deal on this. That is not correct. I actually watched.
Sure?
I watched a video today, which is why I'm doing this, of somebody saying that it's pronounced Marriott, not Marriott. Now, I am also working that in occasionally just because it's what's common and what you're used to as an example. But, yeah, the clip that I watched today, which was not for, like, homework on where we're going, it just so happened to be in my algorithm, was, like, some guy who's high up or in the family or whatever talking, and he was talking about how his wife was a teacher or something, and I guess there was a kid in the class named Elliot. And she's like, well, I don't call you Elliot. I call you Elliot. That was the comp. So I believe it's like, you know, there's names like this in sports where like Bijan Robinson's actual name is Bijan, but now he just goes by Bijan. I think when I say Marriott, it sounds weird, but supposedly that is the actual way to say it.
So we're stumbling onto something because I have said it a million different ways a million different times. And I've even heard members of the Marriott or Marriott family say it differently. For example, at the St. Albans school, the kids walk through Marriott Hall. or Marriott Hall. I'm not sure which one it is. I dined in Marriott Hall or Marriott Hall. I'm not really sure which one it was, but I was there.
Is Mr. Marriott here or Mrs. Marriott?
Ms. Marriott?
Is somebody here that can give us? So, yeah, the reason I am mixing in Marriott is because I literally saw that today. I saw that clip today. But if I had to put money on it right now as to which one's actually how it's pronounced. Now, maybe I'm doing a John Miller bit and I need to slow my roll where John Miller's like, saying Teoscar Hernandez and like rolling R's.
Teoscar.
It's like, yeah, we just call him Teoscar Hernandez. You know? Like someone comes to the plate and it's like, Angel Pagan. And it's like, someone's going to call him Angel Pagan. You know? So whatever. But Pete in Wilmington, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Great show, guys. You know, I think it is going to come down to the kicker. And it's not, I don't think it's going to be like a last play or last play of the game win. It could be. No one knows really what's going to happen. We're all guessing. But I think we got to make every kick in this game. This kicker has to prove himself. And this is going to be a close game, in my opinion. Atlanta last year, that was a heartbreak game for them, how we beat them. And I mean, in front of, it was bad. I know some people from Atlanta, they hated that game. And it kind of sent them into a free fall. So the kicker's got our kicker, Mr. Gay's got to make all the kicks, and it's very important. I think we're a better team, and I think we can win this game. But I'm really surprised. I'm not surprised if Atlanta is going to give a hard fight. It's going to be a close game.
With you, yes. Yeah, smell what you're cooking.
Underdogs for the first time in a couple of weeks since going to Green Bay now. After ruling out, if you're just joining us, Daniels, McLaurin, Noah Brown, John Bates. Among a batch of players that won't go. With Danny, I'm Grant. We are out in Reston. This is a really cool, brand-new facility where they've got a lot of pretty amazing things set up for people. You can roam around, watch big screens outside. But we are hanging out at the Char Bar today for our Football Friday series, and we'll be here until 6:30. Next, Randy McMichael covers the Falcons in Atlanta. We're going to scout the opponent. Are they as bad as they looked this past weekend? This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.